A61. Number 21A.
All right, we just touched on harmony, and we have seen that harmony is not just a nice, cozy feeling, you know, that makes us so nicely tucked in into being, but harmony is a scientific fact, it's a scientific concept, and the inner meaning of harmony is therefore that in order to have harmony, what do you need in order to have harmony? You have to have facts, data. You cannot have harmony with one thing. You have to have more than one thing. Facts, different data. If those different data, whatever they are related to each other so that they don't produce a friction, so that each one helps the other one and is necessary for the other one and sustains the other one, then we call that harmony. Therefore we see harmony is a system of relationship, is a web of relationship, where each point is related to each other point in such a way that there will be no friction. And in order that there is no friction, naturally we can see that all these relationships that keep the data into one system must have a one governing intelligence, a one governing power, a one governing plan. And so you bring the many data and their relationship back again to the one. Then we have harmony. So the moment each part seems to have a plan of its own and a purpose of its own and a direction of its own, we will not have harmony. Then we have all the many little gods, each one having its own little kingdom and each one fighting with the other one. All right. The next one is system. You liked heaven. We don't want to lose heaven. Yes. You like earth too? No? New heaven and the new earth? Yeah. Okay. Well, heaven, is but a biblical symbol for harmony. Yes. So it's a biblical symbol, yes. Actually, instead of harmony, you can have concord, which means more or less the same. Concord. Then we have system, we said, which really is not much different than harmony. The definition of system practically runs the same as harmony. And I guess what is the difference? That harmony has those two sides, namely that it is a frictionless operation of parts, which is principle, and has a touch of soul in it, namely that it is quite a nice feeling about harmony. Therefore, she speaks a lot about harmony in relationship to soul and to soul sense, giving that cozy feeling that everything is okay. Whereas system she would never use in conjunction with soul. System is really something that is scientific and therefore as an idea of principle just states that system is what? Again, like harmony, it's a relationship of. But in principle, in system, I think, instead of having just a relationship of individual data or parts or facts, it's much more the relationship of classifications and categories. They are much more fundamental for system. Because in a scientific system, the first step one makes is always to put various data into one category or into one classification, into one class. So you reduce first the infinite phenomena to first to a few classifications. And then, when you have the classification, then you begin to see the relationship of classification with classifications. So it's a higher, more scientific sense implied with system than just with harmony. Harmony is much more the feel we get out of a system. Did I talk above the head? No? Mm-hmm. How do we arrive at the system of Christian Science? We arrive at the system of Christian Science not by taking, say, these hundreds and hundreds of ideas, which we know are ideas of God, and try to show within those hundreds and hundreds of ideas a relationship. This is not our first step, which we would do and which would be according to the definition of harmony. What we do is that we first put a whole number of certain ideas first into one classification. We take the ideas of power and law and action and intelligence and guiding and leading and say, I take these into one classification and call them no more law and action and creator. I call them now mind. See, that's how a scientist operates. He does not start right away with all his data and says, how can I see how they operate together in one system, in one web of consistency. They first do something, they first make super symbols, huh? And take 100, 200, 1,000 of similar data and put them first into one category. Reduce to a system, huh? Divine metaphysics is now reduced. So the method of reduction is the method that the science uses in order to arrive at harmony. So we have started, you see, and say John Dolan has been the very first one who has seen that terrific sense. It's quite interesting, you know. John Dolan didn't have a good academic education. He had an average education of an average boy in the West Indies, in the last century, you didn't get very great academic education. But he was quite a phenomenon. Looking back on his thinking, he had a spiritual sense for a scientific sense. He always, somehow his spiritual sense always led him to the scientific approach. It didn't leave him in his natural spiritual warm sense. Everything always was driving him into a scientific sense, though he was by nature not scientifically trained. And it may be quite some comfort for you that if you feel, well, you haven't had a terrific academic education, you had perhaps only also an average education, and to think that doesn't prevent you from being scientifically minded. You know, there are a lot of academically trained people in the Christian Science movement, and they are just as dumb as anybody else. They are. They never ask a single academic question. And if you give them an answer, they don't want to hear it. Don't think, and that applies, you know, that applies to every academic faculty. Don't think that somebody who has gone through university and has academic training, that he is academically minded. Not at all. Don't think that way. He isn't. There are only a few that are academically minded afterwards. Most of them are just another proletariat. You call it proletariat, you know, an academic proletariat. They have been trained and drilled in another field, and the worker who is working his little job on a, what you call the fleece bond, on the assembly line, huh? Just does this, huh? All the day. An academically trained man, 99% of them, they do that too, only with their mind. Just this, you know, just this. They are not big people. Don't have too big an estimation of academic people. Because they have gone through university and a PhD, don't think they are really big. They are not. They are not. 99% of them are just as ordinary proletariat as the other one. The one uses their muscles to do it, and the other uses a little bit the brain waves, but they are drilled into just something, huh? To drill to think in one line. And everything that goes to the right and to the left of that line, they don't know and they don't want to know, and that's foreign to them. So to be a scientifically minded student does not mean that you must have had an academic training, not at all. It's what is needed is to have an open thought, huh? A forward-going thought. A thought that does not say to everything, that's not true, that's not possible, huh? That's blah, blah. That you investigate, you have an investigating mind, and try to go with the world, with the age, huh? Because the earth will help the woman, the age is going forward, because the idea of principle is precipitating itself on the world and will find in the world transparent points, and there it will shine through and will bring on the world. And that is what we have to see, where the world is going to. And we can see that the world is changing, rapidly changing. And it's changing in a beautiful line. No matter that we are put nearly on the precipice and nearly been blown up, that doesn't matter. The idea wants to go forward. The idea wants to go forward. And it has gone wonderfully forward. And we can see the parallel with Christian Science. And we should be the one who are leading and not the one who are running afterwards and try to follow what the world is already seeing. Why did I say that? because of John Dolly, you know. He was the first one who could see here is a whole movement that are always discussing Christian Science on the basis of isolated statements. And he had that unique idea that he felt, but there must be categories. Because he could read in the textbook of the categories of metaphysics, and nobody could tell him what the categories of metaphysics are. But Mrs. Eddy talks about the categories of metaphysics. He could see that she says divine metaphysics is now reduced to a system. So he said, what is a system? A system consists of categories. So what are the categories? Nobody answers it. He couldn't answer it at the moment. So it took him about 20 years to answer that, you know. The first time he could see that was around about 1914, and took him 25 years until 1936-7 to answer the question, what are the categories of metaphysics? So see, it takes sometimes 25 years to make a demonstration, just as it has taken Mrs. Eddy 25 years to put up the monitor. 25 years before, she has said, we need a timely issue, we need a newspaper. And she waited 25 years until she said, now it's time, I can do it. Huh? So big ideas take time to be born. So we are not here studying a subject where you feel, after a week I go home and I have everything. This is not possible. The human mind is too slow for that. Huh? It needs a bit more drilling and a bit more culturing until it gives in and gives and falls to peace and lets the new idea in. But John Dolly asked that great question. The first step must be to reduce a lot of ideas first into few categories. Then when he had the categories of the seven, then the category of the four sides, and the category of the levels, he could put the whole thing into one system. Through relationship of the seven with the four, they were not three categories, here one, and then here one, and over there one. Huh? He could see that they interlock, that they are not three separate categories, but three interlocking categories forming one system. And so through this interlocking of just three, the whole thing became understandable, because the human mind should be able to distinguish between three things, huh? Between three categories. This shouldn't be too difficult. So this is system, huh? System that produces afterwards a sense of harmony. And you see that so often, you know. When one first introduces to a religiously minded student the subject of system, he feels it's cold, huh? It's abstract, it's cold, huh? System, hmm? Why not love, huh? Why not the love that meets every human need? That's warm, huh? That's wonderful, huh? And feeling that you are the blessed child and the beloved child of God. This is something. That's warm. But system, that's cold, huh? It's like a skeleton, huh? But somebody who knows system, who understands system, he has really a feeling of harmony. He has really a feeling of beauty, of warmth, of tenderness, of strength. He has a feeling about everything that belongs to harmony. But he has to understand what system means, the implication of a system, and then it's no more cold and abstract. So we had, when you look back, 40 years back, you know, the greatest difficulty we had in presenting this idea was that everybody said, this is cold, this is abstract, this is the letter. And it wasn't anything like that. You see? The inner attitude first have to be to get acquainted with what a system is in order to feel the warmth of a system, the beauty of a system, the reliability of a system, the security that a system gives us, the infinite calculus that is given through a system, that suddenly through a system, through reduction, you get infinite multiplication. That actually by reducing the infinite to simple categories, you really open up the treasure troves of infinitude. You don't restrict anything. So thought first has to get acquainted with the beauty of system. And once it is acquainted, it doesn't want to let it go anymore. Yeah? So can you see why system is an idea of principle, principle that wants to classify, that wants to govern every part of the infinite realm through its channels, the channels of classification, categorization, subcategorization, subclassification, sub, until everything, every idea finds its proper place value within the whole. Then the idea can be understood. And an idea can be understood in its relationship to the whole, then we understand an idea. Again, can you see? Only when we can understand an idea in its place value within the whole, you understand an idea. Before, you don't understand an idea. You only state an idea. Before that, you only state truths, but they are not scientific truths. And only scientific truths can be demonstrated, and only scientific truths lend themselves for unfoldment. Why is it that Christian Science, the idea of Christian Science, I mean the teaching, the principle of Christian Science, could not be unfolded over the last 100 years in the movement. Your article in the Sentinel and in the Journal are as good or worse than 100 years ago. They are not better. They don't bring you anything new. That's why Christian Scientists go back and buy up the old journals. And Ralf sells you them for good money. He likes to sell them to you. And those articles are usually better than what we have today in the journal. Should that be so? Is that development? See? But it's true. As long as one takes science as statements, you cannot unfold that science. It's not possible. Only when one knows the system of a science, one can unfold it. One can develop it. Therefore, only those who investigate the subject in its scientific structure can unfold the teaching and the idea of Christian Science. And that is what started with John Dole. He really could do it. The literature that he brought out is of a completely different nature and caliber than every other literature on Christian Science. And we should accept that and acknowledge that in all humility. It isn't his contribution, it's system's own contribution to it. So we will be able to unfold the idea and we'll see the textbook always clearer and clearer if we are very pure in the scientific approach. The moment we approach it in another way than in a scientific way, we just make a mess of it. That's all. Because if you have hundreds and thousands of data just in one pot, you can mess it up as much as you like, and every time something else comes up, but it's meaningless. Huh? Can you see? Can you see what happened in Christian Science? The individual sentence has been understood. There was no difficulty in understanding perhaps 99% of all the individual sentences in the textbook. So they were understood. What happened? They began to combine those sentences. They made so-called relationship or logical relationship from one statement with another statement somewhere. Were they scientific, those relationships? You know what happens? It was the same as if you take Hamlet and cut it up, every sentence, and put it into a big pot. And then at random take out the sentence, and then another sentence take out and put them together and say, here are two statements, they are all from Hamlet. And say, this is a new combination. Will never be anything sensible. See, that's the point. Not every relationship is sensible. Not every relationship is sensible. No? So, you cannot make a Hamlet just by taking out at random the various sentences and put them together into a book. This is not Hamlet. Nobody will understand what you read. Not one letter is more, not one letter is less. You have the whole. And so they say, but it's all the whole. It's all one. It isn't one. It isn't one. One isn't one. What makes one one is that the relationships are exact, are definite. So there is only one way of putting these sentences of Hamlet together, and not millions of ways. Because only one way makes a sensible story. Can you see? Can you see the tragedy that has come on Christian Science? The discussion and everything that has been done was taking these sentences from the textbook and putting them into a relationship without knowing the laws of relationship, the principle of relationship, the structural way of relationship. And so you put these statements together. And the logic, what they do, seems very convincing until you see through. They say, but an idea is always an idea of God, and God does not contradict itself. So you can put any sentence together with any other sentence because each sentence is about God. Can you see how tempting this so-called logic is? And actually, it's no logic, because the putting together must be put together in their own classification, on their own level, in their own classified relationship, or it does not make sense. Yeah? Did I put it clear enough? Huh? But can you see the danger, huh? When one doesn't quite see through the false logic. It's a very convincing logic, that false logic, huh? Yeah?
How did that all start, the lesson sermon thing?
Well, the lesson sermon thing started all right, in a way, you know. It was adapted to the age. It was something better than before. Something that is better than before is always good, huh? Before, there was free teaching. So the reader or whoever, whatever he was called, the pastor of a church, delivered their sermon. Now, not everyone knew Christian Science well enough to present Christian Science correctly. And so one hears that these people were teaching all kinds of things, mesmerism, spiritualism, and everything upside down, so that Mrs. Eddy could see, oh, I can't go on that way and leave the interpretation of Christian Science into the hands of so many thousand pastors in the very thousand churches. And therefore she felt it is better if they read something which is right. And so she made the lesson sermons and said, you have to read from my books, and my books are right. So for that period, when was that, in the 90s? Huh? 1892. See, for that period it was the best that could be done. Huh? But the best of a period is not the best for another period. Huh? So we have to see that we should not try to solve the problems of today with the method of last century. We don't do that neither in government nor in any science. We are not going to solve in chemistry a chemical problem with the knowledge we had in chemistry in the last century. This is no more done. Huh? Therefore, we need to adapt the whole teaching to the development of the age.